Today is a very simple one, to be a friend. To be a friend. God, we thank you for your glory. We thank you for loving us and for opening the door for us to have this deep and intimate relationship with you. Bless us now with a deeper understanding and a deeper experience in you. In Jesus' name, let all of God's people say, amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. To be a friend. Want to give some credit to my daughter. I was looking for a topic and just shooting some things out to her, and she said, Daddy, no, don't say that. Daddy, no, not that. And she said, finally, Daddy, just call it to be a friend. And so I want to credit her with this simple topic today. You know, there are many joys in life. One of the sweetest of all joys is the joy of friendship. I thought somebody would say amen.
Amen.
There are but few joys greater than having a real trusted friend.
Amen.
Somebody to share in both the joys and the sorrows of life. A friend, the Bible says, is one who loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 17 and verse 17. When we think of great friendships, people like Jonathan and David come to mind. If you're in great literature, if you're into great literature, then you think about Horatio and Hamlet in Shakespeare. Or maybe in Mark Twain, you think of Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. If you're into movies, then you might think of Sherlock Holmes and John Watson, or Lethal Weapon's Danny Glover as Roger Mortaugh and Mel Gibson as Martin Riggs. If you stop and think about it, some of the longest running and most successful TV shows is about friends. As a matter of fact, there was a show called Friends, which ran for 10 seasons. We admire the friendship between Oprah Winfrey and Gayle King. Oprah said of her friendship with Gayle, "I wish every person on earth to experience somebody to care for them and to know them in such a way that they only want the best for you." Everybody needs a Gayle in their life. Can I get a witness? Somebody who will love you just the way you are, while at the same time pushing you to be better. Somebody that you can just kick it with, relax with, be yourself with. Somebody that you can trust. Somebody that you can lean on when the ground beneath you is shaking. I'm talking about a friend. Someone with whom you can share your heart and know that you will not hear it back again.
Amen.
A friend is somebody you can trust. Somebody you can depend on. The Bible says that two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If they stumble, the first will lift up his friend. But woe to anyone who is alone when he falls, and there's no one to help him get up. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verses 9 and 10. And Proverbs 18 and verse 24, the wise man says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Oh, hallelujah. And my friends, we're all privileged today to have such a friend in Jesus. Can I get a witness? How many of you know today that he is a friend that sticks closer than any brother? He's a friend in need, and he's a friend indeed. Some of the best Christian hymns are written about Jesus as a friend. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. I found a friend. Oh, such a friend. But the all-time favorite, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. How we love that song. And yet there's something today, church, about friendship that makes it work. And that is that it has to be reciprocal. Wise man says, he who would have friends must show himself what?
Friendly.
Uh-huh. In other words, it takes give and take for a friendship to work. It is not one-sided. Any kind of a relationship like that, where one person is doing all the giving and the other is doing all the taking, will not work for a long time. Huh? We know that's true. So how is it with Jesus and you? You and I can say, what a friend we have in Jesus. But here's the question. Can Jesus say, what a friend I have in Compton? Can Jesus say, what a friend I have in Rose? Can Jesus say, what a friend I have in Mary? Can Jesus say, what a friend I have in Victor? Can Jesus say, what a friend I have in Ephesus? Are you a friend of Jesus? Are you a friend of God? You see, there are not too many people that God called friends. If you read through the Bible, especially the Old Testament, there are but two people that God actually called friends. It seems to me that in the Old Testament, God was very careful about whom he called friends. We know at least one of them, Abraham. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 7, Isaiah 41, 8, and James 2 and verse 23, God says, Abraham, he my friend. And then another instance in Exodus 33 and verse 11, God says, Moses, he my friend. Seems as if God chose his friends very carefully. He didn't call anybody his friend. That is, until we get to the New Testament and we get to Jesus, something else happens here. We come to the New Testament and suddenly Jesus says, you all are my friends. Now, it had to happen that way because, you see, we all were born enemies of God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Our sin put us at odds with God. So it was not until Jesus came into the picture that he could then call us all friends. Y'all, now listen to me today. There was a gulf fixed between God and man. And Jesus came as the bridge across troubled waters. Jesus came as heaven's ambassador to bring peace. Jesus came as a mediator to reconcile us to God, to solve the differences that we had between us and God. So the Paul says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, for if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Jesus made the difference. Jesus came to befriend us. That's why he was known as a friend of sinners. The religious leaders of the day threw that in his face because Jesus came to hang out with the lowlife, the honky-tonks, the crackheads, the publicans, and the sinners, the prostitutes and the outcasts, the afflicted and the addicted. He hung out with these folks so much that they said, Jesus, you're a friend of sinners. It was derogatory. It was a put down. It was not meant as a compliment, but as a put down. But Jesus turned it into a compliment and he wore it as a badge of honor. Jesus said, yeah, you all says I am a friend of sinners, and that I am. Because I came not to call the righteous unto salvation. I came to call sinners unto salvation. Why? Because the righteous, if you're not sick, you don't need a doctor. But it's those who are sick who needs a doctor. And I'm so glad today that Jesus called himself and was willing to be identified as a friend of sinners. For all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. I'm glad. I'm glad.
Amen.
I'm glad that he wore that thing as a badge of honor, friend of sinners. We all need a friend in Jesus because we're all sinners. And in order for Jesus to restore our relationship with God, he had to first of all deal with the very thing that obstructed that relationship. And that thing is sin. Now, because of Jesus, the door of friendship is open. And Jesus says in John 15 and verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And here's the kicker. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his master does. But I've called you friends, for all things that I've heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. This is one of the most stunning and amazing passages in all of the Bible, that Jesus calls us friend. All through the Bible, we see God choosing his friends very carefully. The term applied to just a couple of individuals until now. And suddenly, the door is thrown wide open. And Jesus says, from here on out, I don't call you servants, but I call you friends. Wow. But what exactly is Jesus saying here? Is he saying that we're no longer the servants of God? We know that that is not the case, because Paul several times referred to himself after Jesus died and ascended. Paul referred to himself many times as the servant of God and of Jesus Christ. We read about that in Romans 1:1, Titus 1:1, and other places. Peter did the same thing. He called himself the servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 1:1. John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos introduces us to this prophetic book, the last book in the Bible, and he identifies himself also as a servant in Revelation 1:1. Clearly, it was not the intent of Jesus to say that we're no longer servants and now we're buddy buddies with him. He will always be our Lord and our master, and the servant will never ever be greater than the Lord. Come on, say amen. So what exactly was Jesus saying when he says, I call you friends? By calling us friends, Jesus was simply giving us an upgrade. Somebody say upgrade.
Upgrade.
Ella Cook, Sister Cook, I was looking to use that term in a sermon. Here it is, upgrade. He's just giving us an upgrade. You know, we get it all the time in the mail. I get pieces in the mail that says, you know, the car dealership sent me something in the mail and they say, come in, Mr. Ross, we want to give you an upgrade. You get a newer model. The most recent edition. See, the upgrade has features that the older model doesn't have. The upgrade can do what the older model can do, and then some. Jesus says, I want to give you, as a follower of mine, an upgrade. I'm giving you a promotion. I'm giving you the opportunity to move from one spiritual level to another. I'm adding some features in the dynamics of our relationship so that you can enjoy a much deeper and greater and more satisfying experience and walk with me. All through the Bible, only a handful of people were known as friends of God. But many people were known as servants. We talk about what it means to be a servant all the time. Jesus even models what service and servanthood is all about. As a matter of fact, it says that he came not to be served, but to serve. And on that very same night, as he walked with them into the Mount of Olives where this sermon took place, earlier that evening, Jesus in the upper room had taken off his garment, stooped, taking the place of a servant to wash the feet of the disciples. And Paul wrote in the book of Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. We ought to have the same mindset, pride, and a desire for self-exaltation and self-promotion, and the thought that I'm better than anybody else should never be found in the Christian's heart. For the servant is not greater than his Lord. If Jesus stooped, so ought you, and so ought I. But what Jesus is saying, when he says, I call you not servants, but friends, is that you are more than servants. I thought somebody was going to say amen. Y'all are a mighty quiet audience. I know this is a very thoughtful message today. But what Jesus is saying to us is that you're more than servants. You're friends. See, you've got to understand today that servants and friends are two different classes of Christians. Or they represent two different experiences in the Christian walk. One represents the outer court experience. And the other represents the inner court of communion, relationship, or experience. It is a privilege to be a servant, but it is an even greater privilege to be a friend. Amen. See, a man's servants may not always be his friends. We may serve the Lord in a way without ever being happy in his friendship. Servants just go through the motion. But if you're a friend, you can have a good time doing what you're doing because the master is also your friend. Jesus said, these things have I spoken to you. These things have I spoken to you right here, that my joy, my joy, my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Well, some of us have lost our joy and some, I don't know, we never had it when we came. You need an upgrade. You need an upgrade. You need an upgrade from servanthood to friendship. Joy in being in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Just like the joy you experience with your friends. It's not something you have to turn on and turn off. When you're with friends, you're just having a good time. You're just enjoying yourself because you're with friends. My mother-in-law said to me not too long ago, she said, you know, I can always tell when you're on the phone with your friend. I said, what do you mean, Mom? Well, how do you know that? She says, because you get loud and you're always laughing. It's easy. Are y'all with me? It's easy. Somebody needs an upgrade today.
Amen.
You know, you need that joy of the Lord. Huh? It's not just what you do, but it's how you do it. And when you're a friend, it makes the load light. It makes the burden a little easy.
Amen.
We need an upgrade.
Yeah.
The joy of the Lord, the Bible says, is your strength. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
How do you get that joy? I'm glad you asked. See, joy comes. Know that your sins have been forgiven.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
David said, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Some of us have lost that joy. That joy you had when you first came. You remember that joy?
Yeah.
Nobody could shut you up. Nobody could keep you from smiling. That joy you had when you first met Jesus. And he washed your sins away, gave you a new start in life. And well, some of us have gotten tired again with sin. We've gotten bogged down in sin. We've gotten broken by sin. And you need to pray with David, restore unto me the joy of your salvation.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Joy comes when your sins have been forgiven. Joy comes when you know that you can start over with him. Each and every day, joy comes when you know that your past has been redeemed and your future is bright.
Amen.
Then you can have some joy. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
That's the joy of friendship with Jesus.
Amen.
Secondly, I'm telling you the distinctions, the difference between servants and friends. Secondly, servants are hired. But friends are voluntary, by choice.
Amen.
Easy to get servants today. We speak of them as employees. It's another term. It's easy to get an employee or a servant if the pay is liberal, if the benefit package is just right. But you cannot buy true friends with money. The question today is, are we only serving the Lord for the material or social advantages that it brings? Or are we connected with Him by our own hearty and voluntary choice?
Amen.
You see, Jesus chose us as friends. He said, I chose you. You did not choose me.
Amen.
Oh, that's powerful. That is powerful. Because some people will never choose you as a part of their inner circle. Because, you know, you're just not the right fit. You're not on the cheerleading squad. You're not on the football team. Or your father or your mother is not so-and-so. Or you're not the smartest kid in your class. So they leave you out. But here comes Jesus. And He says, I want you on my team. I choose you to be my friend. Well, that's huge. That's huge. Because I know folk who run around and they you know, you got a rich uncle. And you say, my uncle is so-and-so. Or I got a rich brother or a rich sister. And my sister's so-and-so. Or my friend. But you don't find that rich person or that rich uncle going around saying, I got a poor nephew, so-and-so. But Jesus, who holds the world in His hands, Jesus, who spake and it was done, Jesus, who commanded and it stood fast, says, I call you my friend.
Yes.
I choose you. And I chose you from the foundation of the world.
Yes.
Man, that's amazing.
Thank you.
That is stunning.
Thank you, Lord.
The question today is, will you choose Him?
Amen.
Will you be a friend of Jesus?
Amen.
Number three, I got to move on. The servant knows not his master's secret purpose. But his friends do. See, it is enough for the mere servant to obey. But the friend has the hidden things revealed to him. See, because the friend has a relationship. Somebody say relationship.
Relationship.
See, you can work somewhere and never, ever meet the boss. The boss man or the boss lady. Isn't that right? You never get to have a relationship with your employer. You're just a servant. You're just an employee. You're just a cog in the wheel. But a friend builds a relationship where there is a sharing. You get to know things other people don't know because you are a friend of God. Are y'all listening to me? You're going to be smarter than somebody who has a PhD. Oh, yes. See, the Bible says the fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So when you make that step, you're already ignorant. You're ignorant. And as a Christian, as a child of God, you can know more than somebody who's an educated fool. You know where we came from? You know why you're here? You know where you're going? You understand your purpose because you're a child of the King.
Yes.
Because God has shared that stuff with you in His Word.
Yes.
When God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, He first stopped by to check on His friend, Abraham. He stopped by to just hang out with Abraham. God said, Abe, how you doing, man? I just came by. God says he's for Abraham is my friend. So read about it in Genesis chapter 18. Write it down. Go home and read it. He stopped by to check on brother Abraham.
Amen.
Abe, how you doing, man?
Amen.
Just come by to see you. What's going on? And then the Bible says something very interesting in verse 17. It says, shall I hide from Abraham my plans or that thing which I am about to do? See, God came down on a mission. His mission was to destroy, to wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah. And all that sodomy, and that's where you get that from, Sodom. Homosexuality and all that kind of stuff. We can talk about that some other time. But God came down to wipe that stuff out.
Amen.
But before he did, he says, Abraham, I'm on a mission. What mission, God? I'm about to destroy these folk over here. Abraham says, no, God, please don't. And he begins to plead with God. See, because Abraham was a friend of God. And when you're a friend, you get invited into the secret councils. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Jesus said in John 15:15, the servant doesn't know, but I've shared with you all things that I've heard from my Father. Being a friend of God means that you know stuff that other people don't know. Amen? Amen. Number four, the servant performs out of duty, but the friend serves from love. The love of Christ, the Bible says, constraineth us. Mm-hmm. Those who live in the inner circle of friendship with Jesus love him. The more you know Amen. Him, the more you love him. Amen? See, those who serve for wages, only for money, they long for the lengthening of the shadow so that they might stop or cease from their labors. They're always glad when the given task is over, but it's not so with friends. Friends are always asking, is there anything else I can do? No burden is too heavy, no task is too great, because I love my friend Jesus. That's why Jesus said, you are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. And why shouldn't we do whatever he commands? As the pianist comes to play, I'm not going to be long. Why is it that we should do whatever he commands? Well, because he laid down his life for us. Amen?
Amen.
We love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
I'm so glad today that Jesus calls me friend.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I want to show myself worthy of his friendship. Now watch this now. It doesn't mean that you have to be a perfect friend. You know, there's some people who will never get close to other people because they don't want to be hurt. Can I just talk about that for a little bit? But to love is to open yourself to hurt. It is impossible to love somebody and not be hurt by the very person that you love. Well, I just said something. I'm gonna say it again. To love is to take a risk. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that, speaking of Jesus, that he would be wounded in the house of his friends. And here's the thing you got to understand. Jesus is saying to these men, you are my friends, you are my friends, you are my friends. And he knows full well that the very next day, one of them would deny him, would say, I don't even know the blankety blank man. Peter cursed and he swore up and down, I don't know Jesus. And yet Jesus said, you're my friend. He knew that they would forsake him. He knew that they would scatter around the cross. And yet he said, you all are my friend. He took the risk of love, risk of being hurt. And it happens. It comes with love. But here's the thing about Jesus, and I need to say it to you today. He believes in us more than we could ever possibly believe in ourselves. And so even though he knows we're going to mess up, even though he knows we're going to make mistakes, even though he knows that there are times we're not going to get it right, he's still willing to call you and I friends. And I'm so glad about it today. When there are others who were telling me where I could get off at, Jesus is willing to tell me, Compton, here's where you can get on at. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's my friend. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's my friend. Oh, he picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's my friend. Is anybody in here glad that he's your friend?
Do me like Jesus.
Oh, let's sing the song. Can't nobody.
Can't nobody.
Do me like the Lord.
Do me like the Lord. Mm-hmm. I said, can't nobody.
Oh, join it. You know the song.
Do me like Jesus.
Oh, he's my friend.
He's my friend. Where he picked me up,
oh, yeah.
And he turned me around. He picked me up.
Sing the song like you know it.
Turned me around. Yes, he picked me up. And he turned me around.
Invite you to stand. Keep singing, keep singing.
Well,
he's your friend, and you want to be his friend.
Body.
Oh, yes.
He told me to run on. Heal my body. He told me to run on. He healed my body. And he told me to run on.
Somebody today needs to choose him because he's already chosen you. And the doors of this church are open right now. Somebody wants to say yes to Jesus. I want to be his friend because he calls me friend. He was a friend who was willing to lay down his life for you, and you want to give your life to him right now. He doesn't want you to die for him. He wants you to live for him. He wants you to love him, to serve him. He's got joy for you. Joy like you never had. Joy like you've never experienced. Joy like a river running over. If you just choose him today, it begins by coming to the cross. It begins by knowing that your sins are forgiven. It begins by accepting him as your Savior. And today you're saying yes for the first time maybe, or the second or the third time. Whatever it is, it's not how many times that you say it, but you need to do it. When there's an opportunity to do it. And that opportunity is right now, right here. I call you in the name of Jesus. Somebody wants to say yes to Jesus. Slip out of your seat and come down front. Give me your hand. Give these elders your hand. And give God your heart. Somebody saying yes. This is your moment. I'm calling you. The doors are open. You want to be a member of this Ephesus church family. You're among friends. And I call you now in the name of Jesus. Somebody wants to come.
Me.
Allow him to pick you up and turn you around.
Turn me around.
Give direction to your life.
Pick
purpose to your soul. And somebody needs to say yes. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Father God, today, we thank you for calling us friends. And that you use this very simple, yet elegant and beautiful relationship to describe the kind of experience that we can have with you. Not just as servants, but as friends. God, today we're standing because we're accepting your invitation. We're accepting your choice. And as you've chosen us as friends, so we too choose you gladly, happily. We respond, we accept your friendship, and we're delighted, God, to be on the inner circle. God, now we pray that you will continue to bless us and to grow us as we're talking about loving, growing through loving God. Pour out your spirit in us. Restore that joy of salvation. Give us that spirit of loving obedience to walk in the way that you've outlined for us. And then, God, give us the courage to invite others into this same friendship, to bring others so that they might know what a friend we have in Jesus, and that Jesus can't ever do you wrong. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, let everybody say, amen. Amen. Amen.